Well, if you got your Bibles today, you can turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 in the New Testament, one of the letters that Paul wrote. And as you're turning there, have you ever heard someone say, well, that's different. Well, that's different. It's a more positive way of saying, that's weird, right? That's weird. You know, especially if there's a pause there in the middle, like where you say, well, that's different. Different? Depending on what we stress the syllable to, that phrase can mean things like, well, I wouldn't have done that. Well, that's different. Or, oh, I wouldn't have thought of that. Oh, that's different, right? Depending on where we stress the syllable, or, oh, that's what you meant? Oh, that's different, right? In marriage classes, they tell us that what men and women, they have conflicting ideas sometimes, and neither one of them is wrong. They're just different. Just different. I knew a young girl that used to like to not only eat oranges, but she liked to eat the orange peel as well. Well, that's different, right? There's a kids' club video that they've watched a couple years ago. These two guys, they were trying to create a superfood. Talking about God as our creator, and they're trying to create the superfood. So they take three different kinds of food, and they mix them all together to make a superfood. And so one of them took a chili cheese dog with all the works and the bun, a couple handfuls of chips, and a glass of lemonade, and poured them into a blender, and blended it all up, and then froze it in little popsicle sticks. That's different. Didn't taste good either. But some other food combinations you maybe wouldn't think go together. Peanut butter and pickle sandwich. Maybe if I like pickles. Hot sauce and ice cream. I have to try that one. Oatmeal and soy sauce. Yeah, oh, yuck, right? Salt in coffee. I never thought about that one either, but as I understand it, from what I read, these are surprisingly better than what you think they are. And while we may have different opinions on whether something different is good or not, there is something good that God intends to bring through that which is different. Including the flashing lights over here on the side of the sanctuary. Okay, there are candles today. That's different. That's different. So today's message is going to be different. Not different in the way that, in the sense that how I'm giving a message, but we're going to step away from our series on Teach Us to Pray, because I believe that God wants us to talk about, well, being different. All right, so if you're in Colossians chapter 1, if you're there, say I'm there. You ready? Say, let's go. Starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you for how you speak to us through your word, and we pray, open our hearts to receive what you want us to hear today. Lord, help us to have ears that hear and hearts that are ready to receive and minds that are open to hear the things that you want to have shared today. And God, enable me to be able to share those things that you want me to share today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Title of the message today is Different. Different. Paul begins his letter to the Colossian church with thanksgiving, not giving thanks to the believers in Colossae, but giving God thanks for those believers. And why? Because he says in verse 5, there are things, there are characteristics about them that he is hearing that stand out. Things that cause him to go thank God in prayer, as a matter of fact. And specifically what he is hearing is about their faith in Jesus Christ, their love for God's people, and those things that spring from a hope that is stored up in them for what is to come for all believers in heaven. If you've ever been to a wedding, and the scripture that's read at the wedding is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. The love chapter. There's three things that Paul mentions at the end of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, that remain, he says, or abideth, depending on your translation. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. And I want you to notice also that Paul mentions three things that stand out about the believers here in Colossae. In verse 5, he says, faith in Christ, love for God's people that spring from a hope stored up. Faith, love, hope. Guess what? Same three words. In the Greek, even the same three words, okay? And here's the point. There are characteristics that mark believers that cause us to look different and act different than the world. Amen? Amen. And Paul identifies those characteristics from what he's heard about the believers in Colossae. Faith and hope that spring from a love. Faith and love that spring from a hope. And what is this hope that Paul is talking about? It's not a hope that something is going to work out. Well, I hope that's going to work out. It's not a hope and something's going to change in my life. Well, I hope that it's not always going to be that way. It's not a hope in a person in this world. Maybe my mom or my dad, I hope that they're going to be able to help me with this. Or a hope in someone who's famous, a famous celebrity. I hope that they're going to change everything around so everything's going to be so much better. My hope is in... No, that's not the hope that he's talking about here. He's talking about a hope that is in something greater than all of the world itself. And this hope does not disappoint us. This is the only hope that cannot disappoint us. In fact, one of the 16 statements of fundamental truths, if you're familiar with the AG, the Assemblies of God, 16 statements of fundamental truths, we're not a denomination, so we don't have a specific doctrine that governs our denomination, but there's 16 statements of fundamental truths that the founding fathers of the Assemblies of God, when they read the Bible, they found these 16 things that stand out that from these things we can know how to live our lives today. And one of them is number 13, which is the blessed hope. The blessed hope. Titus 2 and verse 13 speaks of this blessed hope as being that which all believers look forward to. What is it? The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Titus was written after Jesus came to this earth, died, and rose again and ascended into heaven. So it's not talking about when Jesus comes the first time, but rather when he comes again. That's what we're talking about. That's the blessed hope. It is as we look forward to what Jesus is to bring that Paul says to Titus here that enables us to be taught by God's grace. What are we taught by God's grace? To say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. How many know when we get to heaven, we're going to live differently than we live now? But God has called us right now as believers to live differently while we are in this present age. Amen? Amen. Does everybody in the world have that hope? Well, that's different then. That's different. What did the Colossian believers hear that brought about this hope? They heard the gospel. That's what verse 6 says. Paul says in verse 6, in the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. He's recognizing that what's happening in their lives. He's telling them this is the fruit of anybody who hears the gospel and receives it. Their lives are different, and there's certain characteristics about them that mark every believer. Okay? There's something that makes us different. The gospel is the true message about who God is and what he has done for all mankind, lived out through his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again, that we may also be raised to new life, resurrection life. You ever heard someone say or ask you, well, I got some good news and I got some bad news. And they usually give you the option to choose. Which one do you want to hear first? I'm not giving you the option today. I'm going to tell you. The gospel has bad news and good news as well. The bad news of the gospel: all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not a single person who can earn their way into heaven, who can say that they deserve for Jesus' grace to be given to them. There's not a single person in this earth. That's the bad news of the gospel, just so you know. We're all sinners. There's nothing that we can do to get us into heaven, to earn it, to deserve it. There's nothing that we can do. That's the bad news. But then there's the good news. Somebody say good news. Good news. But God was in Christ reconciling us to himself, not counting men's sins against them. Praise God. Praise God. In Jesus, God is reconciling us to him, not counting our sins against us. When we hear the gospel, when we receive it, Paul says there's a hope like a springboard that rises in us. Jesus died for my sins? Oh, thank you, Lord. There's a love for me. There's a love. God loves me. God has a plan for my life. I need to believe and I can be saved? That's all I need to do is believe. I don't need to work this out. Faith is springing from my heart out of that hope. Hope is a springboard that faith and hope, or faith and love, spring from, is what Paul says here. As having this hope changes us so that we do look different than the world. We do act different than the world. And this fruit produced from the gospel lived out in our lives is different fruit. Different fruit. For it is a fruit that lasts. That lasts. Jesus said to his followers, in John 15 and verse 16, I sang about it earlier in the Abide song. We was talking about abiding in the vine. He is the vine. We are the branches. When we're connected to him, we will bear much fruit. Apart from him, we can do nothing. In that same context, or that same passage there of John 15, verse 16, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear what? Fruit. And not just fruit, but fruit that will last, much fruit that will last. And in other words, another way to translate that would be fruit that should remain. But in the Greek word there, that fruit that will last, or specifically will last, in the Greek it means to be permanent. To be permanent, that's what it means. That you would bear fruit that would be permanent. Now at our house we have a glass bowl that we use when we sold our house in the past. We use it for other things too, but we've used it for when we sell our house. We put a little arrangement or whatever in it, and it's a bunch of these little green apples. They're artificial. They're not real apples. They probably, if you try to take a bite of them, you'd have to peel back the film around the outside, and you get a mouthful of styrofoam probably. Okay, so there's these little green apples. 2014, when we sold our house, those little green apples were bright and shiny and looked really nice sitting on our dining room table. 2019, when we sold our house, that same bowl with those same apples, 5 years later, looked just as pretty as they did 5 years before. And 5 years now, those green apples that we still have look just as shiny as they did from 10 years ago. Okay? That's not the kind of lasting fruit I'm talking about. That's not the kind of lasting fruit that Paul is talking about either here. But the point is that the fruit from a follower of Christ's life is different than anything else produced in this world. That fruit that is produced in us is one that lasts and carries out to a bunch of other people It goes like what Paul is saying at the beginning. This fruit is this gospel is bearing fruit across a whole world, across the whole world, and we recognize it because it's the same fruit. It's the same fruit. It's a different fruit. It's clearly recognizable to other believers as the fruit of the gospel. And this is what Paul is hearing about coming from the lives of the believers in Colossae. And hearing these things about a church that Paul didn't even start, so it's not Paul didn't start this church and leave and then hear about it later. No, Epaphras started this church. And then Epaphras comes to Paul and tells him what's happening in this church. And Paul is recognizing that the things that he's hearing about, the characteristics of Jesus coming from their lives, are the same things that are being produced in his own life, the same things that are being produced in all the other believers of that day, okay? And that causes Paul to give thanks to God, thankful prayers, we talked about a few weeks ago, and to pray helpful prayers, like we talked about a few weeks ago, for those believers in the church of Colossae. And this is what he prays in verse 10. That they may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that they may have great endurance and patience. How many know we need that today as well? Yes, we know that we need that. We need that power strengthened by all power, so that we may have that great endurance and patience today. And giving joyful thanks, thankful prayers, to the Father who has qualified them, qualified, we're qualified, and all believers today to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. What is he praying? That's quite the run-on sentence, right? He's praying that God would cause our lives to look different than the world does around us, and that our lives would produce that unique kind of fruit that comes from the gospel that causes us to stand out today and be different. You know, there's a guy in the Old Testament that was different. He's a little different. When the Israelites first arrived at the Promised Land, they were in slavery in Egypt for 400 years, and God sent the 10 plagues, and Pharaoh let them go, and they were released. And as they got to the Red Sea, then God parted the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army came after them, And after the Israelites got through the Red Sea, then God caused the waters to come back, you know, fall down and fall on top of all of the Egyptian soldiers and kill them all, right? And then there's lots of praising that's happening on the other side for a little while until they start moaning and grumbling about different things. And they get to the Promised Land, and Moses sends 12 spies into the Promised Land to scout it out. You know what they came back with? They said, well, I got some good news and I got some bad news. The good news is this land is truly a plentiful land. It's a bountiful land. Look at the fruit. It's amazing. This is a land truly flowing with milk and honey. Good news. But bad news. There's giants in the land. There's giants. They're so huge that to us, we seem like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought of us as well, they said. And fear began to spread through the Israelite camp. But then there was this other guy, the 12th of the 12 spies. And his name was Caleb. And in Numbers 13 and verse 30 says this of Caleb, that he silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. What kind of glasses are you wearing, Caleb? Didn't you just see? We just saw all these giants. Yeah, there's good stuff there, but there's all these giants in the land. The cities are huge. They're fortified. They're so big. How could we ever possibly take over this? And Caleb breaks in and says, we should go up and take possession, for we can certainly do it. How many know that was different? God, in the next chapter, said of Caleb, Numbers 14, verse 24, he says, yup, my servant Caleb has a different spirit. I added the yup in there. My servant Caleb has a different spirit. Is this God being nice about Caleb, like we talked about earlier? Not saying he's weird? He's trying to spin it in a positive way? Not at all. No. This is what God actually says. He says, my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly. And follows me wholeheartedly. See, his different spirit that probably seemed weird to the Israelites, unbelievable even, The difference, though, was that Caleb followed God wholeheartedly. It's what made him different, even amongst those who believed in God, but doubted, maybe depending on the situations and the circumstances. And I'm not going to speak for you, but I can say I can relate to that today, right? I can believe when everything's going my way. It's not always easy to believe in what God tells us when things are not going our way. But here's the point. We need to encourage one another as we continue in the faith. We need to be in the body of believers, okay? What's different about us sometimes helps us stay different. It helps us to live differently than everybody else. We need to be encouraged to continue to not live like this world, but to be different, to be the people that God has called us to be. We need to spur one another on. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We need all the parts of the body functioning in order to be the body of Christ. Every single one of you has a purpose, has a gift, has a talent, has a plan that God has for you to do, to bring into the body of Christ. Every single one, young or old, anywhere in between. God has a purpose and a plan for you being here. He has things that he wants to do in you, not just to hear the word of God, but to live it and to do the things that God has placed in your heart to do. Those things that maybe intimidate you. Those things that don't feel like they're part of. This is why I'm standing up here. Okay. This is not what I feel like I want to do, right? It's becoming more so as time goes on. But it was something I was definitely afraid of to begin with. I did not want to stand up here in front of you guys. I was scared, to be honest. I was intimidated by this role. But God says, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And so me and him, we can do anything together. And the same goes for you. But that different spirit, I don't know about you, but I want to have that different spirit that Caleb had all the time. All the time. No matter how different it means I got to be from the world. Amen? No matter if it means that I stand out when I don't want to. Who's with me? Okay. I'm with him. Who else? Do you want to have a different spirit today? Believers live differently than the world, not different in how we look from others in our physical appearance, but different from the world in how we live while we're in the world, okay? We don't need to wait until we get to heaven to live differently. No, we need to live differently today. But I got to also be real and say we don't always look different. We don't always look different, do we? Okay, good. And I'll tell you this story. A few weeks ago, it was a Friday afternoon, I was at home, and my family was gone. They were visiting some friends, and I'm working in the kitchen, and if you haven't been to my house, the kitchen window faces our front door, and I'm turned away from the window, and I'm looking at whatever it is that I'm working on in the kitchen, and I hear the doorbell ring, and I turn around, and I look through that window, and I catch eyes with a couple of door-to-door salespeople, and I said, oh, no, man. That's no good right here, man. That's not really what I said. I'm like, oh, door-to-door. I can't pretend like I'm not home because I just looked at them and they looked at me. I guess I got to go answer the door. But as I'm walking over there, a memory comes to mind. See, I was trained to be a door-to-door salesperson at one point in my life. And so I'm thinking about, okay, I know their scheme. I know what they're going to try to do. I'm not going to let them have their way. I'm going to stand up against it. I'm going to win this conversation. Without a single prayer, that's how I walk to the door with boldness and confidence, and I throw the door open. Hi. And then she begins to tell me, she does her greeting and begins to tell me why she's there, and I say, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. Now, there's a little lesson on door-to-door sales. If you've ever been trained in door-to-door sales, or if you haven't, a door-to-door salesperson is trained to not listen to any of your no's until you say no three times. Three times. You say, no, 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 before they even respond. They're trained not to even respond to it. They just keep going. Let me change their tactic a little bit, but they just keep going, okay? So she said, I said I was not interested. And she's like, okay. And she kept on going like she would. That's how she's supposed to do. And she kept talking. And I said, look, you can save your spiel for somebody else. That came out of my mouth. And she continued on like a good salesperson. And I told her I'm not interested one more time. And so Being a good salesperson, she changed her tactic and she said, okay, why aren't you interested? But she didn't leave the question open-ended. She gave me three options to choose from. Which I also knew that if I said any one of those, that she had a whole line of bullets lined up for me to say to keep me from thinking that that was a good reason that I would say no. And so I smugly said, I don't have a reason. And the conversation ended. And they walked away, and who knows what kind of hand signals or things came out of their mouth as they were walking away. And I go back in the kitchen, and I'm all confident. I'm like, yes, I won that. I did that. And at the same time, I had this sinking feeling in my heart. And I go back to what I'm working on. And slowly and quietly, I hear the Holy Spirit speak. He says, you want to reach the communities. And yet you didn't even give that person any kind of value. They weren't even worth your time. How are you going to reach communities if you don't give people value? Just being honest and real with you guys today. And I hung my head and I was like, oh God, I'm sorry. And I looked down and this is the shirt that I was wearing. That's why I wear this shirt today. So I go and look out my kitchen window. Are they still out there maybe? No. Without thinking about it, I slip on my shoes and I open my garage door and I walk out to my driveway and I look up and down the road. Well, maybe they're gone. I should just go back. I didn't think that though. I just kept on walking. I started walking down the sidewalk. The same path that I walk every Tuesday morning as I go pray for my neighbors. I walk down the sidewalk, I turn the corner, I turn the next corner, and then I see them about six houses away. And they're going from one house to the next, and I'm like, oh no. I'm not going to yell right now because who's going to be listening in the neighborhood? And this guy out here is yelling, what's the deal? I don't need to make a scene, all right? And so I'm like, okay, well maybe they'll go to the next house and they won't be there. The people won't be there, and so they'll have to go to the next house, and I'll catch up to them at that point. Well, wouldn't you know it, not only were the people there, but they listened to their whole spiel. The whole thing, 10, 15 minutes, however long it was. Anyway, I got about two houses away, and all of a sudden I saw this big tree between us and them, me and them. And I'm like, oh, stand behind the tree. That way they don't see me here. They saw me. And I realized as I'm standing there, and I'm standing in Pastor Gene's of Open Arms, his driveway, I'm like, oh, Jesus. What if he sees me? Fortunately, he wasn't home, but I didn't know that at the time. Okay, so I'm just standing there. Well, at least if he saw me out here, he'd know who I am and not be like, who's the stranger standing in my driveway? Although he would probably wonder why it is that I'm standing in his driveway. A neighbor passes by in their car. I wave at them. They wave at me. They know that's not where I live, but hello. And so I wait. And then I notice that one sales guy keeps peeking his head around the tree. And I'm like, oh no, that's no good right there, man. I've probably made him concerned. He's probably like, not only did I tell them off at my door, but now I'm coming down the sidewalk to talk to them. You know, it's like, so then my prayer became, God, help them not to be concerned. Help them to be peaceful. And so eventually the two of them then went around the side of the house, and so then I kept walking. And I get to the house, and I look down the one side, I don't see them, so I walk to the other side, and the two of them come around the corner, and they're like, can we help you? And now they're going to confront me, because they don't know what to expect. And I said, look, I just want to apologize. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't treat you very kindly. I know you guys got a hard job. I was a door-to-door salesperson at one time in my life, too, and I know you got to hear no's all day long, and I could have handled it better than I did, and I didn't, and I'm sorry. That's different, right? It's different to her, too. She didn't say that, but I could tell she was thinking it because she was totally taken off guard by what I just said. And when she kind of composed herself again, she's like, wow, thank you. That just made my day. Put her hand over her heart. Just made my day, she said. And then she went back into one of her spiels about people just don't listen to us because they don't know, you know, she goes back into her spiel and that kind of thing again. And I said, I just want you to know, the Holy Spirit put it on my heart. I needed to come and I needed to apologize to you. So she said, oh, well, thank you, and have a good Sunday. Okay. So I turned and I began to walk back to my house. And when I get as I'm passing by Pastor Gene's driveway, he just happened to be home. He got home at that point, and so visited with him for a little bit and continued on. He doesn't know the story. I continued on just with my head kind of hung low and just feeling completely embarrassed and humiliated on my way back to the house. But yet, at the same time, there was a peace that I felt that I didn't feel the whole rest of that time that I was going through that. And I get back to my driveway, and I open my garage door, and I take one step inside my garage, and I hear this. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. I'm not perfect. I can't live perfectly. But that's not the point today. The main point today is not perfectly, but differently. Not perfectly, but differently. She probably hears no all day long. All day long. Just because we do things that make us look different. Just because we do things that make us look like the world doesn't mean we can't still look different after. We can't still look different after. It doesn't mean that. That day, although she hears no all the time, that day someone who treated her that way was different. Being different doesn't just mean how we do life on our good days. Are we willing to be different, even if it means being humiliated or embarrassed, even if we're the ones who caused it to begin with? Are we willing to be different to see that someone else can see Jesus? So that someone else can see the effect of the gospel on our lives. Are we willing to be different? As we close today, maybe you're thinking about how your life looks different. Or maybe you're not finding a lot of things as you think about it that make you look different. What needs to change in your life? It's a good question to ask. If my life doesn't look different, why is it that I don't look different? I'm a believer. Why doesn't my life look different? It's a good question to ask. John the Baptist said in John 3 and verse 30, he said, Jesus must become greater. I must become less. You've seen that bumper sticker has a capital H, capital E, greater than symbol, lowercase I. He is greater than I. He is greater than I. Is he greater than I? Until that is the case, you and I won't be different. But I think from what John the Baptist said, this is my application out of it, is that there is this continual progression. Our lives are meant to be a continual progression of us becoming less and him becoming greater. Like, it's not something that we just arrive at the day we get saved or after we've been walking with the Lord for so long, but it's a continual progression of us becoming less and him becoming greater for the rest of our walk with the Lord for all the days of our lives. Are we willing to live in that truth? Every day becoming less, that he may become greater. So I want to ask you today, as you think about being different, is there something that you need to repent of? Something you need to turn away from? Is there something that you need to lay down today? It doesn't have to be a physical thing, although it could be. Is there a relationship that needs reconciliation? A friend of mine just lost her brother, but she confessed that she has started grieving this long before he passed away because he slowly walked out of her life, is what she said. Slowly walked out of her life, and now he's gone. Is there a relationship that needs reconciliation? Is it worth it to wait? How about we live differently? Will you stand with me today? I'm going to have a time of prayer, response time. I want to invite you. If there's something that you need to lay down today, you want to make that decision to lay something down today. It doesn't have to be a physical thing, although if it is, that's fine too. You got something that's not healthy for you that you need to lay down. If you want to put it up here, you can. But otherwise, I invite you to come up here and lay down whatever that thing is that's keeping you, as God reveals it to you, from being different. What is it that gets in the way of that? It's okay to lay things down. God doesn't want us to carry things that are not ours to carry. He wants us to take our burdens and give them to Him, and to take His burdens, which are light and easy, His yoke, His burden, and put it on us instead. But if there's something you want to lay down today, don't feel ashamed or embarrassed. I just shared with you a very embarrassing story from my life, okay? This is a place where you can be real. And more importantly, you can be real with the Lord here.